see what the competition is, but be your own individual. Like, don't copy off. Like, if you see a space and they have a certain aesthetic or a certain room, don't steal their idea.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you the biggest thing that you said earlier was use what you have. A lot of us don't do that. We don't use what we already have. We're all given talents, all of us. Yeah. Each of us are given talents. The question is, what do we do with those talents? Do we hide them? Do we say they're not good enough? Do we, just bury them? It looks like to me, you said, no, I'm going to go ahead and use my talents. Yeah, and that's to me, that's what's really inspiring.
Yeah, I had to figure out what it was. He kept saying, use what you got. What do I have? What do I have? literally that funded Stage Madness 100%. No loans, no PPP, no nothing. I but yeah, like when they say got it out the mud, that's really.
This is Shannon and Max, and you have tuned into In Our Bag, Winning Wealth and Wonderlust podcast.
For today's video, we have some really good content. If you've been interested in this very trending business content creator space, you definitely want to stay to the end of this video so that you can learn more about this business opportunity. I'm really excited today because we have our first interview. It's a business owner. I think she's a serial entrepreneur, and she's also my sister. So she has definitely been in business for some time. She's been in business dating back to 2011. And so she's had multiple businesses. We're going to talk a lot about some of the businesses that she's had. We're going to talk about the current business that she's in. And then she's going to also share with you this very, very, very trending business opportunity. So please stay tuned. So today we have Candace, who is the owner of Stage Madness Furniture, Home, and Decor. She's also the owner of Ragdoll's Boutique. And she has several businesses that she's working on right now. And so, Candace, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Yes, yes. So this is a little unique for me, since you're my sister, having to do this business. We have the great pleasure of having you here on In Our Bag, Max and I, and I'm glad that you could take the time out because I know you're busy and I know you're trying to get your latest venture up and off the ground so you can get open here real soon.
Thank you guys.
No problem.
Yes,
no problem.
Thank you for joining us.
All right, so let's step back a little bit. You're originally from St. Louis, Missouri, which is where we're originally from. And you said that you've been in business since 2011. Talk a little bit about your first business, which was Ragdoll's Boutique. It was a very unique, trendy boutique in St. Louis, and you were very successful. So tell us a little bit about Ragdoll's Boutique.
So I started Ragdoll's Boutique in 2011. I initially just jumped out at the storefront. When I got the storefront, a lot of people were like, why didn't you do online? Online never crossed my mind. I just immediately thought storefront. Of course, I took about 6 to 8 months to kind of prepare for the opening of the store, gathering things like cash registers from vintage shops and DIYing, like my jewelry glass container display. Just did a lot of thrifting to kind of decorate the store, and then that saved a lot of money so I could get inventory. I just kind of went from there.
So what was the reason why you wanted to do a clothing boutique? I mean, we're from St. Louis. There's not a whole lot of fashion coming out of St. Louis. So what was your reason why you wanted to do a boutique?
Well, I like to go to, like, youth city And they had the cute little shops in the Lou.
Like Dilmar Lou?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So I was like, I can do that. Like, I just need to find where to get the clothes from. And honestly, I wanted to just have a cute space, like decorate a cute space for people to come and kind of be wild and shop. And I don't know, just like, I like fashion. I like putting on clothes, you know.
So was it more about the fashion for you, or was it more about the creative eye so far as like decorating and getting people to see your design creatives? Right.
Both.
Okay. Right. You would say both. So what really got you into design? Like fashion design, interior design? Where did all of that start?
Interior design, we'll say it started when I was 18, but it dates back before that. Because I used to change my room around and use up all my mom's furniture polish to clean the room. And yeah, so I used to design my own room in my own way. But it kind of, we'll just say 18. Because when I moved out on my own, I went all in. Like, I decorated.
Actually, she's severely understating this, guys. I think this girl moved her room around at least once a week. From what I can, I didn't know that the beginnings would be what it is today.
Yeah.
So is this just a passion of yours about design in general, whether it's fashion or interior design, or did you get, you know, some formal training? Like, did you go to school to get?
I did not go to school. Okay. I did try community college, right?
Okay.
And I was going to get my associate's degree in interior design. Did the prerequisites and things like that, but I just felt like I'm about to toot my own horn. Like, there's nothing they could teach me. Like, it was just in me. Like, it's just something that's in me that I feel like I possess, like, that I was gifted with. I just have the eye for it. I just feel like I when it comes to interior design. Fashion, I'm alright. I can sell some clothes, but I feel like interior design and decorating is like my ultimate path. Like, I can do that all day. Like, I can stay up 2 o'clock in the morning doing somebody's apartment or whatever.
Okay, and so we'll get into that a little bit later. So you had Rad Dolls Boutique. You felt as though you had a bigger pull or tug on you to do more interior design, right? But you still stuck with clothes for a while. You still stuck with fashion for a while. So you also started, which I thought this was genius when she first told me this, and you could kind of explain why you decided to do this, but she decided instead of having an adult clothing line boutique, she started a baby boutique, and it was called Bows and Arrows. Tell us a little bit about Bows and Arrows. I thought it was actually very unique. Tell us a little bit about Bows and Arrows. Your transition from really St. Louis, because you decided to kind of leave St. Louis, and where you wind up staking your claim for Bows and Arrows. Talk to us a little bit about Bows and Arrows.
Okay, so Bows and Arrows, I came up with that children's boutique because it wasn't a lot of children's boutiques. Everybody was doing the women's boutique. So I was like, okay, let me do something different. Started Bows and Arrows Children's Boutique. Actually, when I was here in Texas, in Houston. And I was like, you know what? Let me start doing street fairs in New York. Why? Because I often travel to New York. My husband, he's from New York, so we go there a lot. And I would see on the streets, like, people have their little setups, and they would be selling art, they would be selling jewelry, they'd be doing henna tattoos. And I was like, let me see how I can get into that. Mind you, people were like, oh, you know, you live in Houston, you're not going to be able to do anything in New York. Like, you can't do all right, then watch me. So I did everything I needed to do to get licensed to actually be a part of the street fair. It's like an organization where you basically just rent out it's not really a booth, but it's a spot
on the event space.
Yeah, yes. On the streets of New York, and you pick, like, they give you a whole calendar for the year, and you pick, like, which streets you want to be on,
which festivals you want to actually vend at.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and it was an experience. It was an experience. I did that for like two seasons. The second season that I did it, it wasn't as successful as I thought it would be, but it was, I mean, I don't have any regrets about it. I won't say, I don't have to worry about saying, oh, I wish I would have did it, because I did.
So there's a very good point. You were able to pivot. You talked about from St. Louis, we slid in Houston, but I think it's important for us to talk about why you chose to move from St. Louis to Houston, number one. And even though you were looking in the New York market to do your children's boutique, talk a little bit about your choice to come to Houston, why you chose to leave St. Louis. And even though you were looking for other markets, talk to us a little bit about that.
I chose to leave St. Louis because I feel like I pretty much accomplished as much as I could there. I outgrown that space. I came to Houston for more opportunity, bigger city, more highways, more traffic, more. And initially, when I came to Houston, my mindset was, oh, you know, I'm going to just shut down my storefront in St. Louis and open a storefront in Houston. Well, when I came to Houston and they told me the price of spaces here, I would probably have to live there. So I was like, well, let me just do it online, you know, and that thing that everybody was saying when I opened the storefront kind of resurfaced itself. So now
when they originally told you to open Ragdolls and do it online.
Yeah.
Now that had came back.
Yeah. Yes. So I just started doing it online. And I did okay. It was okay. It wasn't like enough to like quit a job.
Your storefront in St. Louis was more successful than your online store that you were operating out of Houston?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, you decided, you know what, I still think this is a much bigger market.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to go ahead and transition and move, even though I'm taking a huge hit because of revenue and how successful I was in St. Louis. I still feel that Houston is a bigger market. Which, in general, it is, because the population is bigger, of course.
And I just feel like for me to get to where I envision my life, I have to think outside of my zip code. Like, I have to think outside of my city. And when I'm explaining it, it may seem like, oh, you all over the place. But I really wasn't. Like, I really was, like, strategically kind of planning this stuff. It wasn't like I was just dropping stuff and leaving. Like, before I came to Houston, I gave myself 6 months. I plan, like, I keep a notebook.
Okay.
Like, I keep a notebook.
So, okay, so wait, let's talk about some of those things. I think that's very important. Let's talk about some of those things that you had set up in those 6 months. Like, so were there certain goals that you wanted to hit? Like, did you have an order of things, like save a certain amount of money or, you know, find your space? Or I think that's a good tip for entrepreneurs.
So that's the thing. When I said I wanted to come to Houston, I did set like a deadline, but then my father got sick and he was in the hospital for like 30 days and he passed, and that was a whole deal.
Yeah, that caused a delay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we plan stuff, but then God's plan is always better than our plan. So
Right.
Yeah, I had stuff like written down in my book and how I thought it was going to be. But then things were shifted because it's all in his timing, like how he wants you to move and how he wants things to be set up. Even when I came out here, like I said, I told myself, oh, I'm going to get a storefront. And that's what I thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to get a job right away. That didn't happen. I didn't get a job until 6 months later. Like, but my husband got a job in like 4 days. And I mean, it all just worked out like for the good. Like, even though I had a plan, as long as you have a plan and then you allow God to kind of intervene, it all worked out.
So that's an important point too. I talked about you pivoting earlier, pivoting from St. Louis to Houston, right? And then pivoting from a women's boutique line or women's boutique to a children's boutique. And then yet again, you had to pivot even when you got to Houston. I want you to talk a little bit. What did you do in the interim? Because your online clothing sales wasn't doing that. What did you do in the interim to kind of make up for what, which I know it did make up for what you were doing in St. Louis with Ragdolls, because Ragdolls was very successful. But what did you do in the interim using your design passion? What did you do in the interim to kind of bring in sales and to kind of keep the business going, keep your business afloat? What did you wind up doing in the interim?
So I had to get a job. Well,
let's talk about your decor, where the decor stuff starts to come into play. Okay, go ahead.
I got a job at a pest control company. I don't even like bugs. I worked there for 4 years, but I promise y'all, like, the girls that were working in the office with me, I was the office administrator. They used to see me in there. I mean, we would do stuff together. Like, we redecorated the whole front. Like, it was my
idea. You in there arranging the pest control place?
Yeah.
So it was still pulling on you. Like, you need to be doing something else.
I promise you, like, I would be sitting at my desk, and I would be taking calls. And while I'm taking calls, I'm making books, decorative books.
There we go.
And that's where I got the name and the idea to start Stage Minutes. It was 2016. I was working. I was on the clock, and I was like...
And you were making decorative books while on the clock for someone else.
I was, sorry.
But we can talk about now, because you no longer work at the pest company. So, yeah, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You got to...
2018, I started working.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes you got to use a little bit of that on the clock time to get your dream fulfilled. So.
I was a good employee, but I just, for me, I'm going to just speak for me. Because everybody, I just felt like, I'm too creative to be stuck here. Like, I feel stuck. Like, I'm just here all day making somebody else millions when I have bright ideas, creative mind. I can make myself a couple thousand. I mean, it might not be millions yet, but we're getting there. So,
right.
So talk a little bit more about the decorative books, right? So you started making those decorative books when?
In the office, 2016, in my office.
Right.
2016, I started making the decorative book from copy paper and using their ink. And
you were using the company's materials too to make these books. So those were your beginning of your beginning decorative books. You were using the company's materials to make these books. somebody utilizing your resources. Okay. Talk a little bit more about, because the decorative books, in many ways, wind up becoming your signature. You got better with doing those decorative books. Just kind of explain to the audience a little bit about the evolution of those decorative books just in general.
Okay, so.
Now, what is a decorative book?
Well, it's not really that. I mean, that is a decorative book, but
one decorative book.
Yeah, we actually sell those. Those are the real ones, though.
Yes.
Like, I made...
I don't think she has. If you go to Stage My Nest Amazon.com, you'll see her decorative books, but I don't know that we actually have one of those because we're not in Stage Minus right now. We're actually in her up and coming venture. But yeah, decorative book is a book that people would sit out like on the coffee table, or they sit out on something that,
and it's custom. Like I do them custom. She does. So, it's like whatever designer names they want, or if they want their dog's names or their husband and wife name or the year they were married, whatever. Whatever colors. I'm mad I don't have none in there, but
yeah, but she pretty much customs them. So if you've seen any of like the high end fashion designer ones, she makes them they look very similar, but they're custom made.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 2016, I started Stage Minus. And what I wanted to do was just do like decorative items and home staging for realtors. I call myself, I proclaim to be an interior designer. I have all the, you know, things that interior designers learn at school. I already got them. Like, I
such
know
as
how to space plan. I know how to lay a floor. I know how to paint. I know how to plan out pretty much everything. It's not too much I can't do in interior design.
What you started to do also was to tap in more into that interior design, because you also started to do some staging for people as well.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. So I staged not only relatives, but like clients. I started getting clients here in Houston. $500,000 homes, $1 million condos. A lot of good clients that I had that were serious, because everybody, you know, they'll say, oh, I want my house done, but then the price is like, okay, maybe I'll just try to do it myself. And that's cool. That's cool.
After you give them a little bit of consultation, free consultation, tell you how much the actual consultation.
It ain't free no more.
It's not being free. I ain't mad at
you. Get somebody else to do it.
Right. Get somebody else to do it.
So you kind of meshed, like I said, the pivot, and I'm going to keep bringing up this pivot thing, because you started to mesh the decorative books. You started to mesh the interior design. So your interior design passion came back up. And then you wound up opening Stage Minus, though. When did Stage Minus come about? When did the Stage Minus furniture, home, and decor concept and business come about?
All right. So 2019, I helped out a relative. And I literally did her whole apartment in like a week. Made headboards from scratch. Did the whole nine. Like, it, when I got done, it looked like she was there for all, like already living there for 6 months. And she had just moved in like that week. Nice. And I was like, you know what? My price is just my real passion, like, and I got back on it. But I said, it wasn't even furniture that I was trying to do. I was like, let me do an Airbnb. I know I sound like I'm all over the place, but I promise y'all I'm not. Like, I was like, let me do an Airbnb. And the sole point of me doing an Airbnb was just to decorate, because good pictures sell the spaces. So I'm like, I know if I decorate this and post these pictures, they're gonna be booked. Of course, I know I have to be in there, clean up. No problem. I don't mind cleaning up. Make sure they got nice sheets, tiles and things like that. I went somewhere in Houston, got a bunch of wholesale tiles, and I was really doing my research. I was watching this guy who's like the Airbnb guru. And he was kind of giving you play-by-play, like how to get started. I was doing my research. And people weren't really, how do I say it? Like, Airbnb wasn't as popular as it is now in 2018. It was popular in 2018, but a lot of people were hesitant about you signing on a contract or a lease and letting people just come in and out. Like, they weren't really, it wasn't as trendy as it is now. There were a lot of restrictions in New York, so I even thought about doing out there. But I feel like Houston, you know, a lot of people are traveling to Houston, so here didn't really work out how I wanted to. That's not a dream that I have given up on, but I kind of just put it on hold for a second.
So, but what caused you to switch from thinking from the point of view of I just want spaces to decorate to I can actually decorate multiple pieces of spaces by offering Stage My Nuts? When did the idea and concept come to you? And how did that actually come about?
When I got tired of people telling me they don't do it, since I only want to decorate, I'm going to just set up something in the garage, some furniture in the garage. And my thought of getting furniture was to have it imported from China. And once I did my research on that, that's not really how you're supposed to do it unless you have all these different licenses. And it's a big thing. But nobody told me anything. Like, I had to do my own research. So I went from one to Airbnb to saying, okay, well, I'll just decorate a little area in my garage and sell some of the pieces while decorating and offering services of staging and interior design. And then I rode around and I saw a space and I was like, hey, this might work for a startup. I didn't really know what I was getting into because I didn't know how to source is what they call it. How
yeah, you didn't know anything about the furniture.
Yeah.
You know nothing about the home before.
Yeah. Well,
not as much as
sourcing. Yes. I know how to decorate, but I didn't know how to like actually get the pieces at wholesale pricing and resell it. Like, I didn't know nothing about it. But I knew I had to get this space, secure this space, and lock it in and figure it out as I'm going. So that's what I did.
So you see a storefront. You say, okay, I'm going to get this storefront. I don't know much about this business. It sounds like to me, it sounds like a repeat process. Because how long did it take before you actually opened that storefront?
A year and a half.
So what were you doing for that year and a half?
Okay, so for the year and a half, Because I had $0, right? $0. God kept telling me, use what you have. I'm like, what do I have? I don't have nothing. God, you keep giving me these ideas, and you're not making the bank account, man. So what is it that I have? So I literally start back making the decorative books. Y'all. Decorative books, coffee mugs, doormats, pillows, candles. That was what I had. That was all I had to make revenue. And I just started posting it on Instagram. Like, I probably had about 68 followers on Instagram when I first started trying to get this back going. And then, I remember giving a set of books to a girl in Louisiana. Shout out to Kay and Company. She has a boutique. And I gave her a set of books. And when I gave her a set of books, she posted them. Well, she was actually just taking a picture of her clothes and they were in the background and she tagged me in them. And I gained maybe like 300 to 500 followers, some sales, and it's like
one sales. Let's talk about how the sales. Give a scale. Tell us how much it scaled. So you went
from making notebooks, because I started making a book in 2018. I feel like one or two orders to maybe like 40 orders a week.
Okay, wow.
Like, yeah, my fingers was tired. I was up all night. Like, I had to move from my garage to the kitchen. And then I took over the kitchen and the living room. My house was just a mess with just stuff. But that was what I had. And people were asking me every day, like, because I, you know, try to do my orders and then try to go to the store, lay down the floor, paint the wall, put some wallpaper up. And I was literally just taking the money that I was making and buying furniture piece by piece by piece by piece. And they're like, oh, when are you opening?
All from the decorative book revenue.
Decorative books, the doormats, the candles.
And you were saving money by using your interior design experience, painting yourself, putting the floor down yourself, putting up the wallpaper yourself, pretty much doing all of that yourself. And you had a window, because you said it took about a year and a half, but it took a year and a half, not necessarily from your own doing. It took a year and a half because of, for you to open.
Yeah.
No, because wasn't there some issues or something with the? Because it was a new location. Right?
Yeah, there was a little issue. Not much, not like here, but it was a little issue. But shoot, it took that long because I didn't have.
But something else made it happen.
COVID.
I was gonna say COVID also happened. Yeah, COVID. So you couldn't open when you wanted to open.
Okay, March, I signed my lease, and like 2 days later, the world shut down. So that was, it was like devastating, but then it was like kind of like a win-win, because now everybody at home and they look around like, oh, I don't like those pictures. I don't like those.
That's what I'm trying to talk to you.
Yeah, they, you know, and it took me a while because I started the business just with the handmade items that I knew would fund the business. It took me a lot of deterrent for people to see, like, yeah, I sell furniture too, not just the books, because they were literally just, you got the books. Yeah. And it was just like, so I had to literally take everything off my site except for the books, because if I didn't, I would probably still be.
Okay, that's a good story. That's very interesting how you pivoted and how that one little post kind of was like the rocket to kind of shoot your business off. Like, yeah, the spark. So that's, you know, kind of motivating for other people too. Like, it only takes, you know, you get your stuff in the hands of the right person, and that could be what you need to get your business going. So that's awesome. That's really cool.
Okay, so you open Sage My Nest, finally. COVID happened, you know, finally open Sage My Nest. So now you have online sales and you have the storefront. Which you're also doing, which I think is amazing. You're also doing mentorship. You're doing one-on-one coaching. Talk to us a little bit about that and your consultation. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing with that and why you chose to do
it. Okay, so for me, because, you know, like I'm saying, to inspire someone else, a lot of people think that, for the record, it ain't nothing cute about starting a business without money. Okay? Nothing cute about this. But that's right. All I'm part of, right? And I took the leap of faith. So I just wanted to show other people, just kind of be that person that I didn't have, although I wasn't like going around asking people, how do you start this? I was doing my own research. I know some people, either they don't have the time, they don't have the job. Like, some people just need that push.
So I always said to God, like, if you show me how to do this, I'm definitely, anybody that comes to my door, like, I'm going to make sure I'm giving you the credit. Like, I'm going to make sure if they ask, because I knew that there would be a question. People come in, like, how did you start this? Where are you getting this? But I, like, I already knew that there was going to be, like, the top question for people, because you don't really see people of color opening furniture stores. So it's not, like, a normal thing to do.
Right.
So, of course, I got a lot of people that asked that. Instead of me just talking until I was blue in the face, telling people, I was like, you know what, if I put a price on it, that will let me know who's serious. Because I'm passionate about it, and if I'm going to be telling people the ins and outs, and, you know, giving them everything they need to know, I would want that person to be serious too, not just, you know, just wanting to be
right.
Yeah, like, so I start, the first thing I did was a raffle, where I had people on, like, you know, enter online. It was literally a $25 raffle, which is nothing compared to the knowledge that they were going to get. The raffle, they were able to go into one of the markets in LA, or in Las Vegas, I'm sorry, and just see hands on, like, what all entails when you're sourcing for furniture, when you're meeting with these vendors, when you're getting all these different connections and things like this.
In the Vegas showcase.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, when I put the post out there, like, hey, you know, I'm going to do this, because when I went in January to Vegas, and I'm going to a lot of furniture markets, and it's always just me, and I get the side eye, and I get the look, and they're looking at my badge like, who are you, you know? And I was like, I just kind of want to change the narrative and have it you know, more of us in, like, you know, that's the normal, that people not looking at you like, you know, what you doing in here,
like, you don't belong.
Yeah,
right.
So,
or that you can't be there.
Exactly.
Right.
So I said, next time, I'm going to take somebody with me. I put a post out like a month before the next market event was going to happen. And, you know, everybody was, oh, take me with you, take me with you, take me with you. Raffle's going to be online. $25. Those that wanted to go entered the raffle. Those that was talking, they didn't. And this girl, she entered numerous times, and I had already told myself, like, if I don't pull her name on live, because I was going to do drawing on live, I was like, if I don't pull her name, I'm going to take her in, because you can tell that she was serious about how many times she entered.
So you were willing to not only take one, but you were willing to take two.
Yeah, okay. So
that's what's up.
You know, when I went live, true enough, her name came out the bowl.
Wow.
So
look at that.
Yeah, so she was ready. Like, she came in. You know, that I think it was like maybe 2 weeks later, she flew out, we met up, she stayed in the same hotel as me. And she was already doing interior design. She's already, like, got her clientele. But a lot of people are interior designers, but they don't know how to source for inventory. They'll go to, like, Ross, Burlington, TJ Maxx, Home Goods, places like that, and, like, get stuff. But if you have the firsthand connections to where, if you're connecting with these vendors and you're able to get this stuff 4 at a time, 6 at a time, yeah, you can do it for your client, sell it to your client, but you can also have inventory too and make money off of it outside of just making the money off this one project that you're doing for this client. You can have your own Amazon storefront. You can have your own, you know, online store where you're selling this stuff. The opportunities are endless. So her eyes were really open. She was very appreciative about that. Because it's like a whole nother world that she didn't even know about. And she's doing her thing. I check on her from time to time. She's doing what she needs to do. She has her contacts. She has her vendors. She's doing well.
Okay, so you've sponsored and mentored, and then you also have one-on-one consulting where you sit down and you have one-on-one sessions with people to explain to them about the interior design business.
Mm-hmm. And we'll, how to start, like a furniture, it's a how-to course.
Oh, okay.
So whether they want to be an interior designer or start interior, if they're interested in interior design and they want to take it to the next level as far as getting vendors, securing vendors, if they want to start a furniture store, I'm just basically sharing with them all the knowledge that you have about the industry.
Nice. Okay. So it really is a one-on-one masterclass.
Right.
Right. Right.
Okay. That's cool. That's,
and I just recently did one of those. Huh?
I said, that's cool. That's it. I just said, that's cool. That's all.
Oh, okay. No, that is pretty cool. You know, the fact that you're willing to give back. Like that, a lot of people don't do that. Yeah, they want to keep all the knowledge.
And yeah,
the fact that you really felt like, because how you feel when you go to these spaces and how people are looking at you, you're like, nah, I'm gonna change that. I'm gonna bring some more people along so that it becomes more of the norm versus the exception. That's what's up. That's a good vision, and it's a good you know, wanting to contribute. So that you can actually add back and just giving back in general. I just think a lot of people feel like they're just going to keep things for themselves, and it's never meant to be that way. It's meant for us to share with others. So the fact that you've been so freely and willing to do that, I think that's amazing. Considering that, because you Open Saved My Nest finally when?
August 28th, 2021.
And then your turnaround for when you were willing to give this knowledge back. You did that when you actually went one-on-one with the person that you mentored in Vegas.
Well, I talked to a lot of people that came in the store, but I went to Vegas January 22.
Yeah, so look at that turnaround. You were willing to give that back so quickly, which I think is amazing, the fact that you're really willing to sow into others.
Yeah.
So with that being said, though, you also still are doing, so not only doing the one-on-one, you're doing the coaching and mentoring, you're doing your own interior design, you're actually still staging. Those are the services that you offer as well. So you have clients as it relates to that as well, along with your online store and your storefront.
I sound important.
All right, well, hold on one second. So with that, all that being said, what is your, how can people find you? Like, what is your website, your Instagram? How can people find you if they want to get mentored or buy stuff?
My website is www.stagemn.com. Instagram is stage.mynest. Verified merchant on Pinterest, stage.mynest. We're on Facebook, stage.mynest. And we on TikTok too, stage.mynest.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good plug. Good job, Max. That's a good plug. Because we're going to transition to what a lot of people have been waiting on to hear about, this very trendy business with the whole content creative spaces. Mm-hmm. This has been trending. It's really been trending because there are I've only seen a few of these across the country where people are really getting into these businesses, the whole content creative space business. So you're doing all of that, or all of these amazing things. However, once again, you had an idea. So you are now, and we are sitting right now in Houston in your next venture. Tell us about your newest venture.
Okay, so my newest venture is Muse, which Muse, basically the definition of it is inspiring. Whether it's a person looking at art or someone looking at a woman or whatever, it's like Muse is like the inspiration. And that's pretty much my whole MO. I just want to inspire people, make them feel good, be able to create and just be in a creative space. And that's actually Muse, subtitled A Creative Content. And that's what we're doing right now. How this came about originally. I know I said
just go ahead.
Originally, I was locked in on it December of last year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't ready. But my initial use for the space was just going to be like overflow for my furniture. But because months went by, of course, now my wheels are turning. Like, okay, how can I turn it into something that's going to make money for me as well instead of just using it for overflow?
For inventory. Using it as a warehouse or a space for inventory.
Right. So I was like, I'm going to decorate it. I'm going to decorate it and, you know, rent it out. And I don't know much about the business like that, but I know enough to start. And it's all a work in progress as you go. I know I got good sets, good ideas. And to me, just like with the Airbnb, basically this is the short term of Airbnb. People mm-hmm. don't stay here overnight. They just rent out for a couple of hours, do their photo shoot, and they leave. So it kind of all ties.
It's all coming together.
You came back full circle. So now you got the even shorter term than Airbnb. You got the hourly rentals or whatever. that you get to decorate how you want to all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And it helps me, believe it or not, me designing these sets or these setups, it keeps me creative. It challenges me. And then when people come in, they're so wild and just getting the feedback from, you know, people that come in the store. And I'm sure when they come in here, what they'll say, even like some of the other tenants in this strip, they come and they're like, oh my God, like, you turned this into this, like, just, and it's not even finished. It's just like a couple of rooms and bathroom is done and they're taken away. So I just think that it's going to be a dope spot for creatives, people of the like, to come and just feel inspired.
So what services are you looking to offer for this space? Like, or who are you looking to want to actually utilize this space?
Photographers, models, people that want to do a birthday photo shoot, people that want to have meetings, they don't have a meeting
podcast.
Space,
you know, they can,
podcast.
right. And this is the podcast that appeared. Anybody that boutique girls that own boutiques, they want to come and they want to have, because I see a lot of girls, you know, they go to different venues or different spaces and they just take pictures of their clothes in front of different backgrounds
right. So those are the people who will be able to utilize this space. And in addition to that, you are looking to, or are you offering, so hourly, is it, so what are the hours, or you know, what are your offerings? Like, are you offering it hourly? Okay.
By the hour. I'm thinking a minimum of 2 hours per booking, but I haven't.
And that'll depend. That'll depend. Okay. Is there
anything? Are you going to be.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, are you going to be. Like, if people have a certain concept that they want to come in with, will you change the rooms, or are the rooms going to be standard, you know? Standard rooms that you offer? Have you thought about all that yet?
I think they open up, they ain't gonna want to change.
Okay.
I mean, they can bring stuff, they can bring, you know, like, if they turn in 38, they can bring balloons and stuff like that, but I feel like they're not gonna want to change.
Like, your concepts are fire, so they're not gonna need any changes. Okay.
That's how you're supposed to feel about yourself. Yeah. That's what's up.
Right.
Yeah, they can bring some ring lights or something like that, but I don't think they're gonna want to really change. It's a more stationary setup.
Right. Okay. Right.
So, and so, do you have, you know, since it really is big and people are, you know, it's kind of up and coming, it's trending. Is there anything that you would like to share, just maybe some tips or some pointers about somebody who's interested and maybe trying to start their own content creative space businesses? Or is there some tips or some nuggets you can give them? It doesn't have to be a lot, just maybe a few.
Well, since I'm still learning, just based off of the knowledge that I have so far, kind of see what the competition is. See what the competition is, but be your own individual. Like, don't copy. Like, if you see a space and they have a certain aesthetic or a certain room, don't steal their idea. You know, come up with your own ideas. Be, you know, authentic. Do your research as much as you can. And have fun with it. Like, don't just do it to try to make a quick buck, overcharge, and be excessive. You know, just have good quality sets and also offer things for the people that are going to be entering your space, like water.
I was going to ask, are you planning on doing something to set you apart?
Oh, yeah.
You want to reveal any of that?
I mean,
you don't have to.
I have a whole little break room that I'm going to set up over there with nice little bar stools and coffee bar and drinks and jars with snacks and refreshments. Everybody not doing it. Even like in the bathroom, you know, even like in the bathroom, I'm going to have a little self-care type little station with sanitary napkins, lotion, chapstick. I mean, I just got to put it in there. But just thinking of the people that actually be utilizing the space, they might forget something. And if you have it there, it's like, dang, she thought about that. Just thinking about them, like how you would want, you know, if you go to a hotel and they have this, whatever, you're like, dang, okay, they got this. I need it. Same thing.
Right. Same thing. Right. Okay. So, man, when I said at the beginning of this interview that I consider her a serial entrepreneur, like I do, and I know she's not going to want to talk about this, but even after this venture, she has another venture, guys, that she has in the back of her mind. We're going to let her get through Muse first. But she's constantly thinking about business ideas.
That's it. After that,
but go ahead and tell people how they can find more about Muse. So what's the Instagram? Do the same thing. Let people know how they can find out more about Muse. I'm sorry.
So Muse, it's on Instagram. It's Muse_CCS. We'll be on PeerSpace under Muse Creative Content. I have not made a Facebook page or website yet.
Okay. With that being said, though, when is your target, or do you even want to talk about your target date for opening, or you just want to, it's coming real soon, beginning of the year?
I hope soon. I hope soon. I got work cut out for me, but I'm making progress, and it's not going to be a year and a half. And with this space, I just started working on it like September, October.
Right.
So, and then even then, I wasn't able to work on it because there was some construction going on in here. So, this will probably be my first weekend that I can really get in here
and finish up some stuff. Okay. And then, serial entrepreneur, before we go. I know you talked about some tips as it relates to content creative spaces, but I think you are inspirational. And although you're my little sister, you're very inspiring to me. Is there anything that you want to leave that's inspirational to who may be watching this video? Anything in general you want to say to me about business in general, or just about, or just something inspirational, period?
Keep going. Keep going. Even when it don't look like it's going to work out, just keep going. I've had my moments where I just want to flip the table over and be like, forget all of this. But I don't stay in that space because I know as long as I keep moving forward that it'll pay off. You don't have to have it all figured out to start. Just start. You know, a lot of people are hesitant if they don't have all the money, you know, to start businesses. Take it from me. You can start without money. And if you have it, that's even greater. You know, if you have it, if you have the money, like, definitely start. Don't let, you know, people talk you out of your dream or, you know, kind of put onto you their fears. If it's something that you feel like is in your heart that you want to do or you want to start or you want to accomplish, do it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen if they make it?
Right.
I mean, right.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, then you will have to live with, dang, I wonder what if in 2022, if I would have started that, I wonder what. I don't want to live like that.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that you said earlier was use what you have. A lot of us don't do that. We don't use what we already have. We're all given talents, all of us. Yeah. Each of us are given talents. The question is, what do we do with those talents? Do we hide them? Do we say they're not good enough? Do we, you know, just bury them? It looks like to me, you said, no, I'm going to go ahead and use my talents. Yeah, and that's, that's what's really inspiring.
Yeah, I had to figure out what it was. He kept saying, use what you got. What do I have? What do I have? So, I mean, literally that funded Stage Minus 100%. No loans, no PPP, no nothing. I don't know about anything. But that wasn't for me. But yeah, like when they say got it out the mud, that's really that's
what's up. So I want to thank you. I definitely want to thank you for doing this. This is our first interview. I think it's your first interview. And I couldn't think of a better person to interview for our first interview. So I appreciate, again, your time.
Thank you for having me.
And for those of you, you enjoyed this video, please subscribe, like, share, and follow us on all podcast platforms. And, of course, make sure you hit us up on YouTube.
And if you're in Houston, hopefully you will be on Peer Space soon. Stop by, Lucas, come to Stage My Nest, get some decorative items, piece of furniture. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
All right.
See you next time.